Okay, so I want to continue where we've been last week. We spoke about in pursuit of God's power. And so we were talking about moving on in terms of this series called Visionaries, which is in a sense about leadership. It's about seeing God, seeing what God is doing, and then having the courage to partner with God. Okay, so last week we spoke about specific in terms of pursuit of how we, as we seek God, as we seek His presence, there's an outflow of God's power. But I want somebody to testify first. Ashley, come and share with us. We had a miracle this week. Praise God. And we were all shocked. We shouldn't have been.
Before I say what I want to share, I think you must all fasten your seatbelts because you're going to be blown out of the water with what I have to say, because I was absolutely... You would never say that 6 days ago on Monday I was hit by a car, looking at me standing here. But that is exactly what happened. I was going for a jog and I was running down Beach Road and, I'm nervous. and I was running down facing oncoming traffic and there were two cars approaching me and the car behind the first car overtook. So the front car freaked out and then he veered left and hit me. And I shot over the windscreen and landed on my feet, cat-like reflexes, landed on my feet next to the car and kind of looked like, whoa, what just happened? Okay, I'm all together. And then I carried on running because I was only about a, I was only about a K away from where I was living. And I kind of ran and got home. And then I was like, whoa, okay, realization setting in there. I was hit by a car, pain, like there are no words to actually explain, headache, nausea, and that was Monday. Monday night was the worst night's sleep I've ever had, and just, pain, so sore, bruising, like very impressive bruising going on there, and Tuesday, couldn't go to work. I was flat on my back. And and the nausea and the headache, because I had a mild concussion as well. And a friend of mine SMS'd, because a whole group of us were going on a hike on Friday and Saturday, which I obviously couldn't go to now because of the accident. And a friend said, no, we need to pray for this. Like, you're going to come on the hike as well. You've organized it. There's no ways you're going to, like, stay at home. We're going to pray for you. And I was kind of like, you hear about these things and, I'm really sore and I'm tired. Can't you just kind of pray from your home and just like, whoo? But he was like quite adamant, no, we must pray. And then I told Sandra about it, who I live with. And she was like, well, Ash, if he has faith for it, then why not? So him and another friend, Sandra and I, were at home Tuesday night. And I was in such agony that I had to have a hot water bottle on my hip. Without it, it was kind of unbearable. So we were sitting, and I was holding my hot water bottle there and praying, no medical mumbo-jumbo, no funny medical jargon, just kind of take the pain away and the headache and all that kind of stuff. Very simple, nothing fancy. I mean, there was no, like, spraying of anything or, like, it was just, we sat and we prayed, the four of us, and, like, wow, I had this intense fire surge through my body and kind of settle on the right-hand side where I was injured. And so much so that I couldn't even have the hot water bottle there. It was so intense, like I had to drop it down. And then after we finished praying, I stood up, and the presence of God was so thick that I just dropped to the floor. And it was incredible because it was like, he was like, Ash, I'll take care of the healing, but I want you to experience my love and my joy. So you experience that, and I'll take care of this. Don't focus on what's happening on down here. And so, I just had this overwhelming experience of God's love for me throughout that whole process. And then my hip sort of clicked, and then I stood up, and there was no pain, like nothing. Now, I really, really wish more people had seen me on Monday and Tuesday, because I was literally like walking around like this and there was nothing, absolutely no pain. And I went to bed Tuesday night, no pain, bruising was still there. And I woke up Wednesday morning and the bruising was gone. Like, gone, like it was never there. Kind of like, did I just dream Monday and Tuesday? Like, you know, you hit your shin on the desk and the bruise is there for like a week or two. Like, I was hit by a car on Monday, and Wednesday the bruise is gone and the pain is gone. And I was just like, there's no words to explain that other than God is amazing. Like, wow. Like, and I really feel like us as a church need to prepare our hearts for God doing stuff that our eyes have never seen, but our ears have only heard. And like, yeah, he's going to do such an awesome thing that we're going to have all these amazing testimonies and experiences of our own. And I just want to say, guys, like, keep those seatbelts on because it's going to be an amazing ride. Like, yeah, so all the glory to God for that because it was incredible.
Amen. I saw her on Tuesday afternoon, and she was walking like a 90-year-old lady. It was amazing. This really is a miracle. But it's amazing how sometimes even when something like this happens, we try and figure it out, and you know, and we're shocked, and yet we believe God heals. It's so weird. But I'm really trusting this is just the first of many, just a small sign, a small glimpse. I believe what God wants to do continuously in us. And so that's what I shared on last Sunday. I spoke about we need to pursue God's power so that we can see a manifestation of who God is. It's not just good enough to tell people God loves them. When Jesus walked on the earth, he didn't just tell the sick, I love you. He healed them. You know, that was a sign of his love. That was a sign of his goodness. And so I'm really trusting that we're going to see many of that. Amen. Okay, so I want to share with you Battle for the Mind. I've been meditating on this for the last month or so, and it's really been speaking to me. It's something that we're not always aware of, but the battle is actually up here in our thoughts. This is where the battle is at. And when it comes to a visionary leader, it's not what we can do for God. That's not the focus. Sometimes we get into that mode of what can I do for God or how should I obey him, and that's good. But it's more than that. It's not just what I can do for God. It really is what can God do through me in the world. Our gifts and our talents and our abilities are not enough to truly see the kingdom come. It is a very small percentage, the big stuff God does. And so we really need the fullness of God in our lives. And the mind, our minds, is the gateway to God's presence. Our minds are the gateway to seeing continuous miracles in our midst. Our minds. I want to share a little bit about that, how that works. But our minds, your mind is a gateway, our thought lives. As I said last week, God is always speaking to us. It's like a DSTV signal. He's always speaking to us. And we need to tune in our receiver to hear what God is saying. But in the same way, the devil is always speaking. Ever thought about that? Anybody that really battles to get depressed, it's just really, really hard to get negative. No, it takes about 10 minutes flat for most of us to get morbidly depressed. And it is simply just by getting our minds focused on the wrong thing. And we get negative and we get depressed. And it's like we forget everything that God has done in all of our lives. And we just think, I want to die. It's horrible. Life isn't worth living. Somebody shared with me on Thursday. She got up Thursday morning. And she said she just felt like, what's the point of life? Why? What is the purpose? I mean, it's just, so she was just really, really depressed. And she doesn't have a tendency to that. And so she went to her husband and said, let's pray. And he prayed with her. And suddenly that thing lifted off her. But that was like a spiritual thing that was happening there. You see, thoughts have a spiritual force behind it. And although you and I can't see thoughts, I'm going to share a few scriptures with you, but you'll see that according to scripture, it's tangible in the spirit realm. It can become like a mountain. like Matty shared, that was for me a confirmation of what I'm sharing. But for some of us, there's this massive fortress, this massive stronghold in our minds. And you can't see it, but it really is there. It feels real in terms of your experience. And so our minds are a gateway for either heaven to come to earth or hell to come to earth. And the devil and God are both always looking for who can they partner with. And I want to say, I think most of us partner more with the devil than we partner with God in our thought lives, in terms of negativity and things like that. And the moment you start agreeing with those negative thoughts, then depression follows, darkness follows, and evil moves into our lives. But if we would agree with God, then suddenly we can find peace and joy and hope in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so last week, well, at the end of the service, we were praying. I saw a picture of people with these heavy cloaks draped over them. And in this week, on Thursday evening while we were praying, I felt God saying to me that the reason people have this heaviness on them, these cloaks of heaviness, of darkness on them, is because they're believing the lies of the enemy. They are believing the lies of the enemy. And you see, the moment you agree with that lie, it becomes yours. And you open the door for darkness to enter your life. Okay, so I believe God wants to set us free from that heaviness. And as Matty shared, like this mountain, as we exalt God, as we focus on God, then this mountain is broken in two. This stronghold in our lives. And the devil will attack two things primarily. First thing he would attack is your identity, who you are. He'll tell you how useless you are. He'll tell you you're not worthy, you're not good enough. Oh, don't go to church. Those people are so much more holy than you. You don't qualify. Okay, now that's the devil. That's a lie. That's not of God. Another area where the enemy attacks is he attacks God's character. He tells you, oh, God is so angry with you. I don't think you can go to him now. No, not after what you have done. So he attacks God's character. No, you can't trust God. And I shared last week about this lie that we receive or embrace. And the lie is, yes, God is powerful, but God is not powerful in my life. I don't qualify. And so it neutralizes the power of God and the presence of God in our lives. Why? Just because you're believing a lie. So it really comes down to what are you believing. So Romans 12, verse 2. I'm trusting a few things would drop in your hearts and in your spirit this morning that will set you free. I've just been aware the last while of my thoughts and thinking, whoa, I can't believe. It's like this relentless assault on my mind and on my wife's thoughts. As I continuously have to say, no, 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 no. It's just amazing, actually, how this onslaught is coming for us. But often we're not aware. We think it's our own thoughts. And often it's not. Okay, Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's amazing. I read something about this, and the author says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, literally, it means that you may show the will of God. So that you may reveal to the world the will of God. Not just tell them, show them. In other words, a manifestation of kingdom coming. A manifestation of heaven coming to earth. A revealing of the will of God. We don't just say God heals. God has called us to show people that he heals. We must prove his will to the world. How do we do that? Renew our minds. Renew our minds. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world does. You see, so often I think we try to live from the earth to heaven. We try to, from our earthly way of thinking, we think we can draw heaven down. And that's not how it works. We must get heavenly thinking, heavenly minded, heavenly connected, and then heaven can come down to earth. And we must move from heaven to earth. When we have renewed minds, what is that to have a renewed mind? A renewed mind is to see things from God's perspective. A renewed mind is to look at things not from a human earthly perspective, but from God's perspective. And then that word transformed, that same word is used when Jesus was on the mountain with three of his disciples. It says he was transfigured before them. He was transformed in front of them, and he became to shone with the glory of heaven. And that's the same word, transformed, as Jesus was transformed in front of his disciples, and the glory of heaven shone through him. So God wants you and me to be transformed, to shine the glory of heaven. That's what it means, transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that heaven can shine through you, so that the kingdom can come through us, transformed. And so when our minds are renewed and we agree with heavenly realities, then heaven comes and lives in us. When we agree with heavenly realities, then God, the kingdom comes and lives in us. We did a whole series called Driven by Eternity, and it was actually focused on this. Colossians 3 verse 1 is not on this on the screen. But it says they seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And when you do that, you are changed. Your circumstances might not change, but you have changed. And so heaven can flood into the situation. Unrenewed mind. What does it mean to have an unrenewed mind? It's like a piano. And God would be playing the piano. An unrenewed mind would be a discordant key. Plunk, plunk, plunk. That freaks my wife out completely. Anything, because she's got perfect pitch. I'm also proud of my wife. Always brag with her. There can be when you press the car horn, then she can tell you what note that was. That's impressive. And she tells, stop that. But anything that's off note or off tune really freaks her out. And so I can just imagine if she would be playing the piano and there's one note off, then she'll just skip it. But God is the same. He wants to play his symphony through us as believers. And then he finds this unrenewed mind, plunk, ka-plunk. And so he's just going to skip over then, because it's messing up the symphony. And so when we've got an unrenewed mind, we will not experience the power of God in our midst. We will not experience heaven come to earth because we're just not connecting with God. And so we need to trust God to get to that place. Bill Johnson says, I'd rather have a room full of demons than a room full of complacent Christians. And I say, whoa, that's rough. I must say, I think I agree. Because the devils, you can say, go away in Jesus' name. But a complacent Christian has this fortress in their minds that blocks the word of God. It's just this wall. And it just blocks the flow of God's presence and spirit. So that you find people that their lives are being touched. God is here. Wow, that was awesome. And somebody else say, huh? Because you're in a completely different way. The mind is just blocked, unrenewed. Know that God can renew your mind. You can be changed. God can set you free and me free. But there's an intense war for the mind and for mental agreement. Every thought and action in your life speaks of an allegiance to God or to Satan. Every thought and every action in our lives speaks of an allegiance either to God or to Satan. And both are empowered by our agreement. So it's quite important what we're thinking. It's very important. want to read this quote to you by Bill Johnson. He says, "The only way to consistently do kingdom works is to view reality from God's perspective." That's what the Bible means when it talks about renewing our minds. The battle is in the mind. The mind is the essential tool in bringing kingdom reality to the problems and crisis people face. God has made it to be the gatekeeper of the supernatural. Your mind and my mind is a gatekeeper to the supernatural. What is your response when you get into a crisis? What is your first response? Oh, we've got a crisis. Let's phone somebody. Or we've got a crisis. Let's turn to God. He can do this. And he wants to. And so let's look at Matthew 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. Just to highlight three areas where the enemy attacks us. Well-known passage says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So there's a war for our thoughts. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not fleshly, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds like mountains, fortresses, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." That's one of my favorite passages. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Often when you don't know where are these thoughts coming from. Is this me? Is this the devil? Is this God? If you don't know, you just say, "I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Whatever this is. If it's of God, it may remain. If it's not, I reject it." Take every thought captive. And so you have thoughts. You have arguments. And you have high things. And the enemy is like putting out this like bait for you and me. Bait. He's putting it out. Come on, take it. Come on. Come on. He's putting it out there. Computer, fatum. He's just putting it out there. Wanting us to take the bait. To agree with the enemy. And what happens is if every thought by thought, if you agree with them one by one, it's like bricks that are built one by one. Built. This wall is being built. This fortress is being built. Every time you agree with that thought, it becomes a little bit more of a challenge. A little bit more of a challenge. For instance, fear. Fear may start small, little thoughts of doubt, and then it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And then you just can't handle it anymore. It just freaks you out completely. So it becomes a stronghold, a fortress. Our souls become imprisoned because of embracing the wrong thoughts the whole time. Okay. So thoughts, they would be flaming arrows. Ephesians 6 speaks of that. It speaks about our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And then you take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So the enemy throws these darts at us. Thoughts, random thoughts. You think, where did that come from? Have you ever driven your car and you on a nice edge of a cliff and these thoughts come? Come on, just drive off. Just go for it. Come on, just a quick turn. Anybody thought that? I've thought about that. Am I only nutty here? And you're thinking, where's that coming from? That's not coming from me. But these thoughts just bombard us. Then arguments or speculations. One translation speaks about speculations as arguments. That's the what ifs. This is a great tool of the enemy. What if you get cancer? What if your child dies? What if your husband loses his job? What if you never get a spouse? What if, what if, what if? And so it's taking your thoughts away from God, away from thanksgiving, away from everything God has done for your life, and you're all focusing, what if? And then it hammers you there. I've been around that bush a few times. The what ifs. The what ifs. It can really plague, bless you. It can really plague our souls when we allow the what ifs. So what ifs are you embracing or allowing to reign free in your life. It will torment you. Then high things or lofty things are philosophies that make us feel the devil is big and powerful. And God is small and powerless in our lives. Makes you feel like a small child in an adult world. High things, just overwhelming. How powerful the enemy is, how small God is. And then circumstances easily overwhelm us. We just get overwhelmed with challenges. We can't handle it. We can't handle it. You just want to run away. Allowing those thoughts to control. So the key to winning, or one of the keys to winning these battles, is recognize these thoughts do not come from you. Recognize it does not come from you. You're not the author of it. And then you reject it. That's the starting point. Recognize it. Say it. Sometimes you have to tell somebody. So Sonic and I were in a good habit of telling one another when there are weird thoughts or whatever. And it's sort of continuous. Then we'll tell one another, because you bring it into the light and say, no, that's just silly. You just tell my wife, no, that's not of God. Just reject it. And so sometimes you need to speak to somebody to break free. Okay, Matthew 16. Just want to touch on the gates of heaven and the gates of hell. Just want to touch on that. Matthew 16, 15. This is Jesus. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this is an amazing passage. Because Jesus is saying, blessed are you, Peter. Why? Because my Father in heaven has revealed something to you. There's been a download of a heavenly reality, a heavenly truth, a revelation, a revelation by the Spirit. You've become aware of who Jesus is. Jesus says, you're blessed. I'm going to build my church on this. The gates of hell will not be able to stop this. But Peter agreed with God, and so he said, you are the Christ. And so there's this download, and I believe there's where the gates of heaven is now open, is beginning to open. You are the Christ. So that's powerful. When our mind becomes aware of heavenly truths, and then heaven can flood the earth. And so, on a practical note, you need to discern, where do your thoughts come from? What's the source? Few sources. Is this God speaking? Is this the devil speaking? Is this me speaking? Or is it simply worldliness speaking? And unfortunately, worldliness often just follows into, as I share in a moment, brings challenges. Worldliness will block our minds or the flow of the Spirit in our minds. It's like a rock. There's a river of the Spirit, and it's coming down all the way to you, and it wants to flow through you. And now we plant these rocks in the middle of it. What are those rocks? Our mind is just so full. Just so full. I went to watch the movie The Avengers. What a movie, okay? But I can't get it out of my mind. It's just amazing. The thing is, this image is just filling my mind the whole time. I'm seeing Iron Man, oh, the Hulk standing, I am always angry. All these things are playing through my mind. It's so irritating. So I enjoyed the movie, but now it's like I'm reading my Bible and I'm thinking, oh, that was so cool. It's like my mind is going the whole time to this other stuff. Oh, I mustn't watch too many movies. Then my mind is just, honestly, my mind is so full and distracted, I just disconnect from the presence of God. Is it a sin? No. But you, some of these movies are good. That's sort of my pet thing. Anyway. Okay, but where was I? Rocks. Now, don't all go and watch The Avengers now after church. We put rocks in our minds, and so it just blocks the flow, and that's worldliness. So if you're continuously filling yourself with magazines, the internet, movies, TV, it's just going to fill your mind. discordant key, plunk. Okay, let's skip over that one. Let's seek a Christian who is serious about pursuing the presence of God. It is a sacrifice, but the benefit of when you say, no, I'm not going to fill my mind with just nonsense the whole time. I'm going to fill my mind with the Word. I'm going to fill my mind with Scripture. Somebody said, which I think is a good idea, maybe you really like watching TV or movies or whatever to help you. Tell yourself, from this point onwards, I'm not allowed to watch TV unless I've read the Bible for an hour. If I read it for an hour, I'm allowed to watch TV for an hour. So if I'm going to watch a movie for 2 hours, you need to read the Bible for 2 hours. That's a very good way of getting you out of just movie, and TV. Okay. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well-known scripture. Yes, the word is living. Yes, it is powerful. But look at this. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It helps you to become aware what's going on here. Is this of God? Is this of me? Is this of the devil? What are these thoughts? It really helps to discern, and then you can take authority over it. And it just brings life into our thoughts and minds. An example would be, say you feel just angry towards somebody. You're angry. You just feel seething on the inside, and all these thoughts are going through your mind, playing out how they're laughing at you, and playing out how what they all have done to you, and it's just all these thoughts come, arguments come of why you should be really, really angry, and why you should be offended, and why you should just pray that God will squish them, or something, you know? God, our mafia hitman. And then you go to Scripture, and you realize, ooh, the Bible says, forgive even as you have been forgiven. Bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You think, oh, okay, these thoughts are probably not of God. The squishy ones. And I tell you, sometimes when we really get angry and bitter, then we really want God to take somebody out. Huh? Just a little bit. Just God, just don't bless them anymore. Show the world you're with me, or whatever. I'm the only sinner in this house. But then I get over it, and then I start blessing and just aligning my thoughts again with Scripture. Okay, so you need to. Just something else that I've been thinking about. I've been telling myself this last while. Let me ask you this. Anybody that wants to do the work of the devil? Anybody? I would really like to know. Do you know how easy it is to do the work of the devil? For instance, the devil's name is, he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses. He finds fault. And so every now and again, I have to remind myself, I'm not going to do the work of the devil. I'm not going to expose somebody's mistakes or faults or judge or accuse. That's the work of the devil. I will cover somebody's mistakes. I will cover somebody's faults. Love covers a multitude of sins. I will give mercy and grace. The devil, he accuses. The devil spreads people's weaknesses. The devil talks about people's mistakes and faults. It's called gossip. Comes out of the pit of hell. Don't do that. Okay, tell yourself, I don't want to do the work of the devil. I want to do the work of God. God helps us to find something positive about somebody. That's love. Okay, if we go a little bit on that passage, Jesus and Peter, Jesus saying, Peter, wow, you are so blessed. Wow, awesome. Now we go on just a few verses to Matthew 16. Amazing. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Look at this. Then Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. Imagine rebuking God, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned, said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Oi, how's that for nice? Thank you, Jesus. You're so encouraging today. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. That's so profound. You are not mindful of the things of God, but you're mindful of the things of men. And so you are like the devil. You are my adversary. That's what Satan means, adversary. You're in the way, Peter. You're in the way because your mind is so full of earthly human things. Mindful of the things of men. And so Peter had his own idea of, so he tried to tell Jesus, this is not, no, my way, not your way. And so Peter was, just think about it for a moment, was Peter practicing Satanism? Was he excited about a seance? No. Nothing like that. There was no occultic anything there. But yet, you devil, you Satan, get away from me. You are in the way. How's that? That's sort of massive wake-up call. Simply being mindful of the things of men causes us to become a stumbling block for God. That's why I agree with Bill Johnson. Rather loads of demons than complacent Christians whose minds are just not in a good space. I read this on Facebook. Somebody said, how did deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me become, fulfill yourself, take up your calling, and follow your dreams? How did deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, become, fulfill yourself, take up your calling and follow your dreams? Makes one think. And yes, you will be fulfilled when you follow God. And yes, he has called us to take up our calling. And yes, he does want us to fulfill dreams. But his dreams for us. But the starting point is I deny myself. I lay down my life. I pick up my cross. I follow him. That is thinking in the right way. So worldliness is the precursor, the starting point for full-on demonic activity. And so we need to be careful. I sometimes get worried when we as Christians get as worked up about worldly stuff as unbelieving people do. If their agenda, which they will die for, becomes our agenda, which we would also die for, then they think, whoa, 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 hold the boat. Why are they so excited about that? Should we be so excited about this? Sometimes we embrace another gospel, another passion, which is not the passion of Christ. Okay, so practical. I'm finishing off. Evaluate your thinking. Ask yourself, what is the fruit of this line of thinking? What is the fruit of it? If I start thinking like this, what is the result? What is the end result? If it makes you feel condemned, guilty, ashamed, not good enough, things like that, then it's probably not God speaking. And that's often where he comes at our identity, wants to take out our identity, tell us how we're not good enough. So evaluate your thinking, your line of thinking. Is this leading to where? Good fruit, bad fruit. Bad fruit, throw it out. Okay. If it's good fruit, then it's probably of the Lord. Okay, so how do we deal with our thoughts? As I said, the enemy attacks our identity and God's character. Why? Because he wants us to become self-focused. If you're the problem, then you self-focus, you're no longer God-focused. And he wants us to doubt God, so we will not boldly come to him. And when we come to church, we feel guilty and condemned, so we cannot connect with him in worship, so there's this disconnect. So be aware of those things and reject them. And then I just want to, I've put this on my phone as another awesome gadget there that can be idolatrous. On this thing, you can put in, I put in there, remind yourself to focus on what God is doing. And that maybe doesn't sound profound to you. That is super profound. You see, for me, for instance, as a pastor, this is just how it works. We hear this morning X amount of people, and now I can have two types of focuses. And the one I've often battled with in the past, I focus on what God is not doing. Okay? So I'm wondering, who should have been sitting in that chair? Instead of thanking Jesus for who's sitting in that chair. That might sound silly, but that's just so easy. That just subtle shift. Focusing on what God is not doing instead of celebrating what God is doing. Focusing on person that did not get healed compared to focusing on, thank you God, you've healed Ashley. Does it make sense? Evaluate your life. How many times do you focus on what's not happening and what's not working? And how often do you actually just celebrate and remind yourself? And that's actually what I want to speak about next week. I want to share with you about remember the Lord your God who is strong and powerful. Remember what God has done in your life. Remind yourself of His goodness and His faithfulness. Because then you connect your mind again with God and heaven can come to earth. Okay, so I just want to pray for us, worship team. Can join us in front. So God, we thank you that there truly is a battle for our minds. There truly is a massive onslaught on our thinking on many different levels. And so God, we pray that you'll bring a shift in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we'll be able to discern the origin of our thoughts, to compare it to your word, and to reject that which is not of you. And so, God, we pray for your word to come alive in each of our hearts. Come and teach us, come and train us how to set our minds on things above. Not on things on the earth. To set our hearts and minds on things that are good and holy and blessed. And not on things that are negative and morbid and depressive. And ugly. God, we pray that you'll help us to not be so self-focused. Doubting ourselves, accusing ourselves. Lord, may we no longer receive those lies of the enemy. But God, may we lift our eyes to you, our hearts to you. And as we lift you up, may that mountain, that fortress of lies be broken. In Jesus' name. May those heavy cloaks, Lord, that are on our, some of our shoulders, God, may we cast it off. As we embrace the truth that sets us free. And so God, I pray, Lord, you'll teach us how to become a people who are thankful. A people that celebrate the good. A people that remind ourselves of all that you have done and are doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just by your Spirit, just come and work. Come and work in us. God, may we decide today we will not do the work of the devil. We will not accuse. We will not find fault. We will celebrate in love. Thank you. There's a scripture that says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so I just want to pray for some of us for a renewal of our minds. If you feel that you need a renewal in your mind, would you just stand? I'm not going to call anybody forward. I just want just to pray for us to say, God, come and renew. Come and bring a renewal. God, we bless your name. Lord, we acknowledge that all of us need a renewal in our thinking. And we ask, Lord God, that by your Spirit, that you will take us on a journey now, a process of renewal, that our hearts and minds would shift to heaven and not to the earthly or to the demonic or to the worldly. Holy God, set us free. God, we pray for every stronghold in our thinking. We pray that those strongholds will come down in Jesus' name. God, we pray for every argument that the enemy is bringing to us, the what ifs. We cast them down in Jesus' name. And Lord, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We speak silence to the voice of the enemy. Say yes to the voice of our Savior. We say yes to the Word of God. We say yes to the goodness of God. Lord, renew our minds. Renew us in the spirit of our minds. Just pray the following prayer. Say, Father God, I commit my mind into your hands. I surrender my mind to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, from this moment onwards, I choose to partner with the Holy Spirit. I choose to partner with the Word of God. Lord, renew my mind. And may my life bring glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Just give a moment and just welcome the Holy Spirit into your mind. Just welcome the Holy Spirit into your mind.